Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savouring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hello, and welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. This episode is an autumn update. So with autumn now, we're what, a week or so in, things are shifting here around on the farm. So while the season would suggest that we're getting cooler days, we're still experiencing some unseasonably warm weather. In fact, the temperatures have been holding steady at about 30 degrees here for the past few weeks. It's definitely not what we're used to at this time of year. And yet the cooler weather can't come around soon enough, because farm life is busy as ever and doing all the farm jobs in the heat is just no fun. So there's a lot happening, from carving to sowing, even some tractor mishaps. So whether you're deep in the trenches of farm life or just curious about the goings on here, I think you'll find something you can relate to in today's episode. So let's dive in. Before we jump into all the farm updates, I want to quickly mention that if you haven't had the chance to listen to previous episodes of Cultivating Contentment, now's the time. I've been having some really meaningful conversations about life on the farm, balancing family, and of course, finding contentment in the everyday. So whether you're driving the tractor, taking a break, or heading to pick up the kids, tune into a podcast. It's a great way to feel connected and inspired. And be sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform. Share on socials with your friends who you think would enjoy it too. And let's grow this community together. So let's start with the weather and animals. We've been riding out an unexpected heat wave with temperatures consistently hitting 30 degrees for the past week, much warmer than we're used to at this time of year. Though it does feel like we've been getting this sort of early March heat wave more regularly over the years. Like, just thinking back on the last few, I feel like summer is getting longer. Sort of that heat is staying around into the start of autumn. It's making the days feel a bit more like summer than autumn, and we're definitely ready for cooler weather to roll in soon. But despite the heat, things are moving along with calving. So we're in the thick of autumn calving at the moment. I think we've, out of the 300 that we had to carve, there's only about 60 left in the paddock, so we're getting there. We'll soon have around 600 cows back in the dairy. And yeah, around 300 of these girls have just given birth in the last 5 weeks. And the other 300 will calve in spring around late July to August. To manage the herd better, we'll be splitting them into two groups. Those that have just calved and the cows that are already pregnant for spring calving. This split herd system gives the cows that have just calved, especially those first-time heifers that have just entered the milking herd, a bit of a break from competing with the rest of the herd for grass in the paddock. It also reduces the amount of time they're standing on concrete at the dairy, which is really important in this hot weather, and it just makes it nicer for their feet. So feet is a major issue on dairy farms here, because the cows can walk up to 5 kilometres a day, and then having to stand on hard concrete for hours while they wait to be milked, you'll end up with lame cows, especially the heifers, because they've been in paddocks for the last 2 years, and now all of a sudden they're walking back and forth up these gravel tracks every day, and their feet haven't hardened yet, and yeah, you just get all sorts of sore problems with them. What I've also found is that splitting the cows up into these two herds, they walk better to the dairy. Now, I don't know the science or the reason behind this, but they just seem to do better when they're in these two separate groups. So the herd that's just calved walks up a little bit faster than the pregnant girls, especially when they reach, say, that 7 months pregnant stage and start to move a little bit slower. And I don't blame them, because I know that by 7 months pregnant, I was, you know, waddling around everywhere. So they're doing a good job getting themselves back and forth to the dairy each day. So I don't know if it's just to do with stage of pregnancy or having different personalities in each herd that makes them walk up to the dairy differently. For those not on dairy farms, the cows have personalities. Yes, definitely have personalities. And we have what we call front of the herd cows and back of the herd cows. The first, say, 5 to 10 cows to walk onto the dairy are usually the same cows every single day. They are the leaders of the pack, who, as soon as you open the gate to let them out, they are off. They're storming up to the dairy. They want to get there first. They want to get their grain. They want to get milked and get back out to the paddock again. Then there are the girls who hang around down the back of the paddock and who just give you this look when you want them to move. For mums, it's the same look that your toddler gives you when you go to put their shoes on, or your teen or tween gives you when you tell them that it's time to turn off their screens. And all mums will know this look. And then the whole way up to the dairy, they stop just because they feel like it. And they give you the look that your toddler gives you when their legs are too tired, when they've gone for a bike ride and said, "Yes, mum, I can make it." And they get about halfway and you end up carrying their bike the rest of the way home. They're giving me this look the entire way up to the dairy, going, "Why are you making me walk? I don't want to do this." And in our herd, this is 2411. 5741 and 2542. The same three cows guaranteed to be at the back of the herd every day, just dawdling along, doing their thing, and there's really nothing you can do to make them walk any faster. They're just gonna get to the dairy in their own time. And the sooner you accept that, the easier your life will be. We've also been extra mindful of feeding this season. We're giving the new heifers that come in a corn ration added in with their grain to ensure that they're maintaining their weight after calving and starting milk production. It's always a little bit harder. They're coming in over the heat of summer and they've just calved and it's a whole new experience and it can really knock them around. So we want to make sure that they're getting everything they need to keep body condition on, to stay healthy and to produce milk. Keeping their energy levels up, it's just essential. And we've seen that adding this extra to their ration has made a noticeable difference. So we're also currently feeding out to all classes of animals across the farm. We're currently pretty dry and the grass has only sort of just started to grow again. So we're feeding out to milkers, dry cows and young stock. The milkers get around 4 tonne of silage a day and that goes out in a feed out wagon from the silage pit. And then between the dry cows and the young stock, we're feeding out around 8 to 12 bales of silage a day. And it's a fine balance right now, making sure that everyone's getting enough to eat while we wait for more, while we wait for rain and grass growth. On the calf front, we are 3/4 of the way through the autumn calving season. We've got about 90 calves in the shed. We house the calves in groups of 12 to a pen. They start in groups of 6 and then once they're feeding well and they're really even in how they all feed, because ours get fed on a group feeder as well. So it's got little dividers. They each get their own little spot. But yeah, there's like 6 on there at a time. They then move up to a bigger 12 one when we open the pen up and give them some more room to run around. Now, I know that group housing is really common here in Australia, but I've learned that single housing is probably more common in countries where you have barns, I guess is maybe the generalization to make, UK, Europe, and America. I see that there's group housing here when you have auto feeders when they're a little bit bigger, but yeah, not the sort of group housing that we seem to use a lot here. The reasons that we do Group housing is socialization, which is crucial as it helps the calves develop those social bonds and improves their overall health. But we are really mindful of the risks because you put calves together and you are risking sickness, because if one calf gets sick, it can spread really fast to all the other calves in that pen. So you've got to be really on top of keeping an eye on them, noticing anything that's slightly wrong, you know, a calf that doesn't usually drink slow, or one that's running a temperature, or just looking a little bit sad in the eyes. So you've got to be really onto that, because illnesses just fly through a calf shed once they start. We're really careful to manage these. Hygiene, both in the shed and in all the equipment that's being used to feed them. And so we calve twice a year, once in the autumn, again in the spring. While each season has its challenges, autumn's really hard for the calves to come in because they're coming in out of the heat. And we've just put fans in our calf shed to keep it a lot cooler, and they are fantastic. They are temperature controlled, so whenever it gets to a certain temperature, they just flick on, and the breeze and the airflow that it creates through the shed is just fantastic. Now, we have dealt with sickness in our calf sheds before. Before we built our new shed, we dealt with crypto and pneumonia in the old shed. And now, while not pleasant, to deal with it in a shed is manageable, because it's very easy to keep an eye on them, give electrolytes, give medication, put rugs on them, monitor their temperature, separate them out to a hutch to isolate them from the other calves. All those things you do when you have sick calves. Now, last year, after we weaned the calves, so this is around 10 to 12 weeks, sent them out to the paddock, we had a coccidiosis outbreak. So really bad tummy bug, and it can kill calves very fast. Now, it turned out that we had done such a good job of rearing them in the shed and keeping them all healthy and happy that they hadn't built up any immunity in their system for bugs at all. And so they went out to the paddock, were out there for a couple of weeks, and then started getting sick. Now, it turns out it's much harder to help calves that are that bit bigger and are out in the paddock. They aren't in an enclosed, controlled environment like the shed. Much harder to give electrolytes to a calf that's out in the paddock. Much harder to separate them from the other calves. And even to determine exactly where the sickness is coming from. Because has it come from the water? We have both dams and troughs in the paddock. Is it something from the soil? Is it from a food source? Has it come from other wild animals? So after getting tests done, it came back as coccidiosis. We think there's a small dam in the paddock where we put them when they're first weaned, and that's where they stay for the first couple of months because it's got the required fencing to keep little calves in. But it's the same paddock we always put them in, have for ages, but our vet thinks that the water has the bug in it that causes coccidiosis. So we're still investigating that, thinking at this stage the best option, because the dam's dry at the moment, is just to fill it in. We already have troughs in the paddock, so they've got a fresh source of water, and getting rid of the dam just eliminates that risk. So this year we're playing it safe, and we'll be vaccinating the calves for coccidiosis after they've been out in the paddock for a couple of weeks, because that's another part of it. They have to actually be exposed to it before you can vaccinate and for it to be effective. Lesson learned, that will be on our protocols for this year. Moving on to crops and sowing. As we move through autumn, our focus shifts to prepping the paddocks for winter and spring. So we're currently sowing ryegrass, which is predominantly the pasture that we use across the farm. This year, we're doing a lot of oversowing, which is essentially filling in the gaps in the paddocks that don't need a full replant. So they've got some grass in there, but there's sort of gaps that need to be filled in. So you use about half the normal amount of seed, but it's an effective way to maximize our resources and ensure that paddock stays productive. On the corn front, we've got a great crop coming in this year, expected to be harvested around mid-April, first time we've ever grown corn. So it's really fun. It's a really fun crop to watch because it grows so tall and does all sorts of interesting things, not like the boring grass that, you know, just grows and it's there. It's a bit of a balancing act when it comes to it because the weather has been so unpredictable lately. And apparently corn is very fussy about how much water it gets and how often it gets it and all that sort of thing. Thankfully, our agronomist from our local Elders branch has been a tremendous help. They've put in moisture meters to keep an eye on all the soil conditions, making sure we're irrigating efficiently, not underwatering or overwatering. And with things the way they're looking, we're optimistic that it's going to be a really good yield this season and for our first go as well. Tractor adventures. Let me share a story that's both frustrating and a little humorous in hindsight. Hindsight, not at the time. My recent adventure in the tractor. I've been learning how to use some of the new equipment. Well, not new equipment. I've been learning to use equipment that's new to me. And I've been using the plow and I've used the tedder and I've used the rake. And then this weekend, I hopped in, thought it was going to just be a simple job that I would catch on fine, hop into the brand new tractor. We got a new tractor a couple of weeks ago with the air seeder, which is fairly new as well. And Stephen gave me a quick rundown of how it worked. I felt pretty confident. I did a couple of laps watching him. And then as soon as he left, this mysterious little error message pops up on the screen. And so I stop and then I ring Stephen. And then, of course, when Stephen comes back to check, the error message doesn't show. And so off I go again. And the error message pops up again. So then Stephen comes back again. And the bloody thing will not show up again. Turns out the error was actually that I was trying to put the air seeder down while I was driving too slow. And Stephen doesn't have this problem because he never drives slow. So he wasn't triggering it. We eventually figured out what it was. He said, just don't worry about it. Go a little bit faster. Yes. But the fun didn't stop there. I also had issues with the GPS. Every time I tried to turn and like hook onto a new line, for those who haven't used GPS, it's just like on your little computer screen, lines down the center of the paddock and you just follow line by line to make sure that you're going straight and not missing any of the paddock. And so you come around and then the line sort of goes bold and you press the go button and the tractor turns and follows the line. In theory, this is what the tractor does. And I've had no trouble with it with any of the other stuff I've been doing. But do you think I could get the bloody GPS line to work this day? So Stephen's in there, he's back in the tractor for the third time, trying to figure out why I can't get it. I'm trying to explain to him why I can't get it. We're both getting nowhere. And now I know that every farm wife at this point is nodding and smiling and going, yeah, I've been in that situation, whether it's in the tractor or out in the paddock or in the dairy or wherever it is where your husband's trying to teach you how to do something. Now, I sat on a panel the other week. And in my top three pieces of advice for new farm wives was don't get your husband to teach you to drive the tractor. Whew. Did I take my own advice? I probably should have this day because I don't think it matters how good your communication skills are when you are putting both of you in a small space, in a stressful environment where one of you is thinking one way and one of you is thinking the other way, because Stephen's over here going, it's the new tractor. And it's a big seeder and it's not a Tonka toy. And he's meaning it in a way that says, it's okay to be nervous. There's a lot happening. Whereas my brain's here going, well, crap, of course I know it's not a bloody Tonka toy. I'm doing my best. I'm really just stressed that I'm going to wreck this thing. And yeah. So I'm getting more upset and more nervous. And I can tell you that most of you can already guess what happens next. Yes, it is that moment. The farm wife bursts into tears, tells her husband to go away. She'll figure it out herself. Yep, how many of you have been there? So I kept trying to fix it. But after about 30 minutes of frustration of doing circles in the paddock with this tractor and the seeder and still not being able to get the GPS to work, I just parked the tractor and I walked away, called it a day. Sometimes you have to admit when the tractor is winning And today was one of those days where it was just not going to happen for me. And the best solution was just to say, no, I'll try again another day. Yes, sometimes it's just best to walk away. And I will get back in the tractor. I will try again. But yeah, it was not worth the frustration for that afternoon. I've already said that we're dry. So on top of everything else, we've just started irrigating again after a very dry summer. Most of our irrigation is automated, which is such a lifesaver. I love that we can control the pivots and the flood systems from our phone or the computer. Being able to turn it on and off remotely saves so much time, especially on the new farm, which we have to drive to. So having to drive over to turn pivots on and off would be a pain in the butt. So that being said, we've still got a few small sections of the farm that aren't automated yet, but they are next on the list of things to do. It's been a slow process, but little by little we have got there, and we will get to the point where the entire farm will be automated, which will be wonderful. But we let a lot of the farm dry off over summer because it wasn't worth the cost benefit wasn't there. What it would have cost us to put water on and everything, we weren't seeing the return from it in growth of grass. So we just chose certain sections of the farm to keep watered and other sections we just let go dry. And then we will start irrigating them sort of, I think this week was when we started, with the weather starting to cool a little bit. And yeah, get those paddocks back up and going again. We are still making inroads on the new property. We've sort of had to put things on a little bit of a back burner because of calving time being so busy. But right now we're still focused on putting in fences, and it is getting there. We are so close to being done. But then we'll still have to put in a new set of cattle yards over there. And so yeah, these projects are on the list and just going slow and getting as much of them done as we can. Work in progress. On the family front, we've wrapped up summer sports as of today. Cricket final. We had a win in the under 13s team. So I had one very happy boy. And now we're gearing up for the winter season. So soccer and football, so AFL for those in Oz, are next on the calendar. Now, I'll admit that I haven't gone too any of the cricket games apart from the grand final, mostly because if Stephen was at the cricket, then I needed to be at the farm. But also sitting around with two other kids out in 30 degree heat over summer isn't fun, but mostly because I just don't get cricket. I've tried. I really have, but I just don't understand it and therefore I don't enjoy it. There's too many rules, there's too much going on, and I just think it's going to be one of those sports that's never going to be my thing. But luckily, I have in-laws who do enjoy cricket and have taken up a lot of the responsibility of getting him to cricket games and cricket training, and they are an absolute godsend. The good thing about cricket also is that I think all but one game of the season was in a 20-minute drive of us, so that makes it a lot more manageable. But now we start soccer. Now, soccer, on the other hand, can be a two-hour drive to get to the games. This is our first year diving into soccer, so we'll see how it goes. Luckily or unluckily, however you want to look at it, soccer is on Saturdays and football is on Sundays. So we've got one kid in one and one kid in another. I don't know what we're going to do when my third son chooses a completely different sport. But on one hand, it's easier to get them there because they're the different days on the weekend. But it also means that we lose both our weekend days to kids' sports. Now, I know talking with farm mums that balancing life and farm life with kids' sports is a constant juggle. It's more than just showing up for the games, because being a sport mum means more than cheering on the sidelines. It's all of the behind-the-scenes work that goes on, the coordination and all the little things that go into making it work. Every weekend now, we will be packing up soccer shoes, football boots, shin pads, helmets, water bottles, double-checking everything, because if something gets forgotten, it could mean missing the game. So the kids know the routine, they know what's their responsibility, but still, I'm going to have to double-check most things, because that mental load of remembering every detail so everyone is ready to go. Forgetting something like the shin pads or the helmet means that they can't play, which is a big deal, especially if we've traveled a couple of hours to get there. It's all about the coordination as well. Both boys have training on the same night. So there's a little bit of shuffling involved. One has to be dropped off a little bit early. The other has to be picked up a little bit late. Weekends can be especially busy with long drives to matches and, it taking up both the weekend days. There's the physical side of it too. You know, you've got to be up earlier to finish the farm chores before we head out to get to the games on time because arriving late is an absolute no-no in my boys' brains. So it's a bit of a race in the mornings to get there. Plus making sure that they've got snacks and drinks and everything like that. It's part of it, but it's just another thing I think that adds to the mental load that mums are carrying. I think there's an emotional side to the being a sports mum too, because sometimes it feels like you're giving everything to get your kids to these sports, but you're also wondering if you're pushing them too much. There's the constant question of whether you're doing enough to support their passions while keeping everything else on track. And we're only at the beginning stages of this. I look at the mums with kids who are a little bit older who are starting to take it seriously, and they are clocking up some serious miles and hours getting their kids to sports at the next level. It's more travel, more practices, earlier starts. And my hat goes off to those mums whose kids are at that age where, you know, they're getting actually to representative levels and it's really getting serious. But I think sports are a huge part of raising kids in rural settings. It's demanding, but it's rewarding too. It's all about supporting kids, watching them grow, developing that team environment, everything like that. But it's also recognizing the amount of effort that goes on by the mums and dads behind the scene to get their kids there every week, because every week does feel like a balancing act. Doing my best, as I know many others are, showing up and doing what you can. So a big shout out to all of the sports mums who are adding one more thing into their juggle and mental load this season. Okay, I feel like I've just talked really fast and talked a lot, but that is how everything seems to be going at the moment. Everything is moving fast and fitting it in and just getting as much done as physically possible. That is a wrap for the autumn update. Thanks for sticking with me through the ups and downs of farm life. If you enjoyed this little window into what life looks like here on the farm, don't forget to check out previous episodes. There's ones done for other seasons of the year as well. And listening to conversations about family and farm life, to tips on finding joy in the everyday, there's something for everyone. Make sure to share your favorites on socials so that other farm wives, other farm women, other rural women can find the podcast too. And remember, no matter how hectic things get, there's always time to cultivate a little more contentment in your life. Until next time. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.